Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
the program. I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise. We're now on Saturdays. We forget about all the evil in the world, and we talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, a lot of things that have happened in the NFL over last week, and we're going to try to get to all of them, and then we're going to get to our picks, and we have a lot to talk about what happened last week. Well, there's some NFL changes. A lot of teams are doing this, doing that. A lot of injuries. Burrow, he's out for the year. I knew when his hand, I saw it, and I knew it right away. He was out for the rest of the season. I knew it. He's done. He's out for the season. The Jets, they're doing a lot more changes. The coach came out and he said, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot more changes as far as personnel goes. Aaron Rodgers now is on the air saying that he's coming back by Thanksgiving. Well, the Jets play on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. So we'll see. And the coach had already said, hey, look, Saley or Sally or however you pronounce his name. He said, hey, look, if Rodgers says he's playing, he's going to play. So we'll find out. We'll find out if he is or if he isn't. What else are we going to say? Well, I can't really remember. Well, there's a whole lot to get into, and we got to get going because there's a lot to talk about these games. And Monday night, there's a lot to talk about on Monday night. There's a lot of games to really go into. So let's bring the crew on board. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Happy Saturday.
Shabbat shalom. That's what it is. So what do you think about Burrow being out? I knew it. As soon as he threw the ball, I said, that's it.
No, if you looked at Cincinnati's season, the way this kind of culminated at the end, and now knowing, like, he is done, it's okay, because Cincinnati might not have made the playoffs this year anyways with him healthy.
Well,
and
you know
that
what?
That is a very tough pill to swallow, because if you think about Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, most people automatically think AFC championship game possibility, right? Yeah.
Well, you know, I think they brought him in the first 2 weeks when they lost the first two games. I think they brought him in too early. He was already injured with another injury. I can't even remember what it was. It was so many injuries ago. But I think it was his hamstring, whatever it was. But I think they brought him in too early. And you know what? There are just guys in the NFL, say for whatever reason, they just are always injured. And I think Burrow is one of those guys. He's just one of those guys that just, no matter what he does, he's athletic, he's a great quarterback, he's a great guy on the field, off the field, blah, 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 but he's just one of those guys that cannot stay healthy. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
I don't know necessarily if I would say this guy is injury prone. He has had injuries. But what I will say is he is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. There's a lot of quarterbacks right now that are upper echelon quarterbacks that are hurt. I think it's like five or six right now that are top marquee. So let's call it six. And there's only 32 teams. So that's the whole thing in the NFL that you have to keep in perspective, is your whole team might be based on one quarterback, and that team might be negated in any type of playoff chance because your quarterback is hurt.
Well, let's bring Viper on board. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Vaya con Dios. Good to be back.
Vaya con Dios. Well, you know, I mean, what do you think about this Burrow situation? I mean, is he going to be one of these guys that's constantly injured from here on out?
I think the real issue is what the problem was with Cincinnati from the get-go is there's quarterbacks that are injury prone. I don't think Joe Burrow is one of those. He's a pretty sturdy athlete. Now, that was a calf injury at the beginning of the year that kind of hampered him a little bit. He was just getting over that. So the hand injury was something new. But the problem is, and this is where teams like San Francisco, like the Detroit Lions, these teams are smart. They build at the offensive line, and they say, it doesn't matter who we're going to have at quarterback, we're going to protect our quarterback. And Joe Mixon has kept the pressure off of Joe Burrow by providing good run support. But Burrow's problem now is Burrow's problem when he got in the league with Cincinnati. They don't protect him. And, he is going to be injury prone until they do that.
No, but that front line, I mean, Cincinnati, that is their Achilles, if you want to call it that. That is their biggest problem. That's one of the biggest problems in every team in the NFL is a front line, you know. But speaking of Achilles or ACL, which I don't know really the difference. I don't know. But this Aaron Rodgers, and I watched him on the show, and he said, I'm coming back by Thanksgiving, and that has been the plan from the very beginning. And the coach already said, Sally, I don't know how to really pronounce his name.
Salah.
Well, I've heard it a million different times, and I've heard a million different pronunciations. That's the only reason why. It's S-A-L-E-H, I do believe is how he spells it. But anyway, he said that if Rodgers says he's coming back, he's coming back. So that means that we could be seeing him, on Black Friday, of all days, because the Jets play on Friday. The day after.
That's a bad omen.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If anybody's ever been an athlete and had like a major injury that you finally come back from, in my own instance, you're not comfortable that first time on that field, on that court, on that whatever it is. It doesn't matter. You've done this in your head 1,000 times. You're going to be okay. But to take yourself away from such a major injury, and then to go on that field, this could be life-threatening, career-ending sort of stuff on your Achilles.
They're playing Miami. They're playing Miami in New York. But Miami has shown signs of, it looks like they're running out of gas, but not really.
They're playing Buffalo. They're playing Buffalo, Skeet.
No, in Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, they're playing Miami.
Okay. I know what you're saying now. Cool.
Yeah, so if Rodgers comes back, he's coming back against Miami. Now, I would love to see it. I think that would be an incredible game. But to come back from an injury like that as soon as he's coming back, Rodgers seems to think that he's going to do it.
I don't like it that soon. I just don't like it that soon. Like
because
the first
we've never seen it that soon before. We've never seen it that soon before. But you're right, though. If Rodgers does come back too early and gets hurt again, that's it. Turn out the lights.
No, and it'd be really sad if it happens to be his Achilles because, you know, like, it's going to be problems for the rest of his life sort of problems.
But he claims he's got the best doctor in the world. He's got his magic tea. His voodoo dolls. He's into. I would love to see it. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see it. Since we've never seen anybody come back from an injury like that this early and then be productive, it's very difficult for us to put our arms around and say, yeah, it's going to happen. Now, Viper, you're a coach, and when somebody, you know, gets injured like that, I mean, it's rare that anybody can come back from an injury like that this soon. I mean, he's got to be the first, right? The first to come back this soon from that kind of an injury?
I mean, I did do some research on this Achilles surgery. It's a groundbreaking surgery. I would think a more realistic expectation, if the surgery was successful, would be coming back literally last game of the year, first game of playoffs.
Yeah, that's what he was scheduled to do.
I've never heard of anyone coming back from it in a time frame that would put him on Black Friday. But I think a lot of it is talk, a lot of it is gamesmanship. You know, and honestly, I'm with Seth. I don't know how effective he's going to be. And do you really want to put him at risk when we're not even sure they're going to make the playoffs? I mean, could they make the playoffs if he started on Thanksgiving? Yeah, maybe, or he gets injured again. Do they make the playoffs with Zach Wilson at the helm? Probably not.
No.
But, you know, I think he's just being a little overly optimistic that he's going to make it back by that time frame.
Well,
he said that was
the plan from the very beginning. He's very adamant about it. And, you know, he doesn't really strike me the kind of guy that is going to make something up like that. Like, if he says he's going to play, I think he's going to play. I don't think he would say he's going to play when he's not. You see what I'm saying? So there is
– right.
It's kind of like, do you really believe him or do you believe, you know, everybody else that has been through this injury and has never come back this soon? So it's very difficult to believe what is real and what isn't. I guess we're just going to have to find out, you know, Black Friday to find out if he's playing or not. So –
let's put it this way. I would be surprised if the medical professionals release him. I would be surprised. Because he can say it's his call all he wants to, but it's the medical staff that has to release him, and I'd be shocked if that happened.
Well, you know, see, that's what I thought, too, when I was watching the interview, and neither one of the guys asked him about that. And that's what I was thinking. Well, yeah, you could say you're coming back and, oh, yeah, I'm gonna do it. But to be cleared by the medical staff, well, he has his own doctor. But his own doctor is not the NFL doctors. Don't they have to go through even though you've got your own doctor, but still isn't there like a certain group of NFL doctors that have to clear you? Is that how it works? I don't know. I'm asking here.
I'm really not too sure, in all honesty. Seth, do you know?
Nope.
So if his doctor says he's clear, then is that all they need? Well, here's another thing.
Then it would fall to the training staff at the Jets facility.
Well, here's the thing. The Cincinnati Bengals are under investigation by the NFL because they did not report Burrow's injury. Evidently, he had a something on his wrist and with video, and they didn't report it, and now he got hurt, and now the Bengals look like they're in a little bit of trouble. So this is why I was asking, I mean, who's really in control of who goes on the field or not? Is it the player's doctor himself? Is it NFL doctors that have to go through a certain board? You see what I'm saying? It seems like it's a little, I don't think it's all really controlled very well. Meaning, if you're going to have, if you're going to be able to go after the Cincinnati Bengals for allowing this guy to go on because they didn't report the injury, and then you got Aaron Rodgers saying, well, my doctor says I'm clear to go, and I get to go, but he gets to go, and Burroughs doesn't. I mean, it just seems to me that I think the NFL, if they had a certain board of doctors, and they get to be the guys who decide yes or no, they watch him work out, they test him, they do whatever. But I don't have a problem with somebody going to their own doctor. You know, if you feel comfortable with your own doctor, you should go to your own doctor. But, I mean, there needs to be some kind of standard, because right now it seems to be a little open. It's like whoever you are, if you're a high player, you get to do this. If you're a rookie, well, you get to do that. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't seem – there doesn't seem to be a lot of – what's the word I'm looking for? Universal, I guess, what I'm saying.
Consistent,
right. So, I mean, that's why I was asking the question, because I don't know. I mean, all sports are kind of like that. I mean, if you got a guy that's, you know, a home run hitter and he says he's ready to play and the team needs, you know, runs. But then they got, you know, concussion protocol where, I mean, some guy, you know, bangs his head against the wall. Now he's in concussion protocol and he's out for 3 weeks. I mean, it just doesn't seem to be, I don't know. It almost seems like whoever the player is gets one standard, and if you're another player, you get another standard. It shouldn't be that way, but... Well, hey, I would love to see him come back. But if he's going to come back, I mean, you have to ask yourself, in all reality, how effective is he going to be? And he's playing against Miami. Now, if he was playing against, let's say, Carolina, okay. You know, you want to come back, you know, get your feet warm. Okay, fine. But Miami's not Carolina. I mean, So, well, anyway, last week, me and Viper ended up with 8. And Seth and Brother X ended up with 7. So right now, Viper is at 93, Seth at 72, Brother X at 77, and I'm at 81. Even though I'm in second place, I'm still down by 12. And there's only, 7 games left? I got some work to do. So Viper, you need to start making some bad choices. Let me catch up.
If you guys want, 1 week, I'll go bizarro and go with the exact opposite of who I think is going to win.
Well, Doc, when he did that, he would go bizarro and go complete. He called it Costanza. He would go completely opposite, and he would win. Swear to God, he would win. By going completely Costanza, you know, going complete opposite. But, hey, look, Cincinnati last week losing to Houston, as much as I hate to admit it, but I think we might have to almost start taking Houston a little bit serious. It pains me, But that's a team that just doesn't want to go away. And Stroud has been doing, you know, maybe it's rookie luck. Sometimes it's that. We don't know. We're only going to find out in the next couple of years. But right now, Houston, I think, is a team that if you're going to play them, you got to bring your A game.
Well, they certainly did benefit from picking second in the quarterback battle, didn't they?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Now, Bryce Young.
And, hey, look at Dobbs. I'm the only one who picked Minnesota. For some reason, I just, you know, I mean, this Dobbs is a kind of a Cinderella story. He's been in the league for, like, what, 5 years? He's played on, like, about seven teams. He finally gets a chance. I mean, he was doing good in Arizona, but Arizona is such a bad team, it really didn't matter. But then comes over to Minnesota. I mean, I think this is perfect for Minnesota, because Minnesota already knows they're not coming anywhere near no playoffs. And if they do, they're not going to go very far. So this guy's going to fill the gap. Probably Minnesota. You're gonna trade Cousins like they already said they were going to do before the season even started. And you're going to be drafting for another quarterback. But, you know, for right now, to finish off the year, I think Dobbs is perfect for Minnesota right now, just to finish off the year. But Tennessee, I was kind of hoping would do a little better with Tampa Bay, but they did not. And I don't know if it's Levis's problem, even though, yeah, he's young and he's going to be throwing interceptions. Give me a rookie quarterback that doesn't throw interceptions. It's just the way it is. I just think Tennessee is a bad football team, but I do think Levis really, he's got a little something there. And you got to build the team around him, and it's going to take a few years. So I would not expect too much from Tennessee for the rest of the year. But in Atlanta, how do you lose to Arizona? And don't give me this Hail Mary guy coming back. They barely won that game. I got to blame Atlanta for choking. I can't give the game to Arizona. You know what I'm saying?
I was surprised to see them come back and win when Atlanta took the lead. I thought that was going to be win number 9 for me.
Me too. but no, I can't give the game to Kyler Murray. I got to give the game to Atlanta giving up. They have the game won. They had the game completely won. In Arizona, I think, didn't they win by, what, 1 point, I think it was, wasn't it?
1 or 2, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, the Chargers, ay. And poor New York. I don't think the Giants are going to win another game the rest of the season. And why?
They're on line for the top pick, for sure, yep.
I mean, why is their head coach still employed? You look at him.
He was coach of the year last year.
He looks confused. He looks bewildered. He seems to be way over his head. Why does he still have a job?
He was coach of the year last year.
Well, last year was a fluke. We all saw that. And it proves that this year proves that last year was a fluke. It proves it. We all knew that New York, it was an accident that they won the games that they won. And yeah, you went to the playoffs, but you choked real early. But, I mean, you look at Vrabel, they've got so many able names, I can't keep up with them. But you look at him on the sideline, and the guy just looks bewildered. He looks confused. He looks like he just looks – he doesn't understand what's going on. Well,
they're going to argue that, you know, he doesn't have the starting quarterback that he started with last year. And
well, I don't want to hear that. They're not competitive. That's my point. If you've got a bad team and you're a good coach, you're going to make them competitive. They don't have to win the game every week. But you got to look like you know what you're doing. And that's what I don't see the Giants. The Giants don't know. They don't look like they know what they're doing. They look confused, the whole team. There's no game plan. It is absolutely nothing. It's just, it's slop. So, but my question is, why does he still have a job? Even though, okay, coach of the year last year, blah, 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 blah. But what has he done this year? You can't go by what you did last year. Last year was last year. This year is this year. What are you doing this year? You're lucky.
Well, the alternative is, you know, you're Mark Davis at the Raiders, and you're paying two guys $80 million to not coach for you. I mean,
I know.
You know, what do you do?
I know.
I mean, Gruden and McDaniel are costing Mark Davis $80 million, and they don't even work for him. Can I get that job?
Yeah, please. I'll take half.
Give me that job.
I'll take half the salary. But, I mean, well, what is his name? Is it Dable?
I can't remember. What is it again?
The coach for the Giants.
Brian.
Well, you've got the guy from Jacksonville, Vrabel. See, I get those names all screwed up. And I'm terrible with names anyway. And that's why, in Pittsburgh, you got Pickens and you got, that's why I just call them the Pickle Boys, because I can't remember, Pickens and Pinkington and that. I just call them the Pickle Boys. I can't keep up with them all. But I don't know what Dable, whatever his name is. I mean, you see him on the sidelines. He does not look like he belongs there. He's got this look on his face like, why am I here? What am I doing? What is my name?
Well, I think that's called apathy. I'm not sure it's that he doesn't know what he's doing. It's that he knows that there's nothing that can be done this year. That's apathy. Which can
and
look
Belichick
like
has a little bit of that as well. Right.
Exactly. I mean, we know Belichick knows what he's doing, but
right. If
you don't have the pieces to do it with, it's easy for apathy to creep in.
Yeah, but still, I mean, the Giants don't even look like they're trying. They don't even – I mean, Washington, Washington goes out there and tries. They're not going to win every single game. But they go out there and they huff and they puff and they look like they're going out there and playing the best football that they can. I don't see that with the New York Giants. I don't see that at all with them. I see them just going out, going through the motions. And that's not good in New York. Seth, you can attest to that. In New York, you go through the motions. I mean, it used to be you did that. I mean, you were run out of town. New York has gotten soft.
Yeah, it's about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Yeah. You're out. You bye.
I mean, New
no
York is not
here again.
So bye.
You know that. I mean, with the Mets, with the Yankees, the Jets, and the Giants, they New York used to never, I mean, if you lost one game, they wanted everybody fired. There was no room for error, period. But now it just seems like New York is just like giving up on all their sports. They don't care anymore. Maybe because all the New Yorkers moved to Florida? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what the answer is. But
hello, McFly. Anybody home?
Exactly. No, we're in Florida. We're not home. But, you know, I really wanted to pick, I want to talk about this real quick before, well, we got to get to the picks here because there's a lot to talk about. But real quick, though, I really wanted to pick Denver, and Seth picked Denver, and I wanted to do
it. Seth hates Denver.
No, last week. Look, there's something going on in Buffalo. There is something going on.
If you want to know what's going on in Buffalo, I'll tell you exactly what's going on in Buffalo.
Please, no.
Are you ready? Are you ready? They just solved the problem in Buffalo. They fired the offensive coordinator. Because whoever the guy's name who is the guy in New York Giants? What's his name again? Brian Gable? I think it's Gable.
Yeah. That's what we've been talking about.
That guy was the OC that actually got Josh Allen better. He actually coached him into making less mistakes. And that's the problem right now in Buffalo, is that Josh Allen is making the same mistakes he was making before he got coached out of those mistakes. And he's thinking he can make plays that aren't there, and that's the big problem, is that Josh Allen can be as great as any quarterback in the league, and then he can be Lamar Jackson. And that's the problem, is the play of Josh Allen is too inconsistent, and that's why the Buffalo Bills are struggling. Their defense is good.
So, Jackson, what is his record right now, Lamar Jackson? I'm just
8-1
right now.
Right. Well, Lamar Jackson looks great at moments, and then he struggles and looks terrible. That's what Josh Allen is right now. He's the white Lamar Jackson.
Well, you know, I started looking at teams, and the teams that have the best record, you look at who they played. And one out of all of the games was over 500. Look at Kansas City. Look at Kansas City. Look at Philadelphia. They've only had one game where the other team was over 500. Everybody else was under 500, and that's how they got their record.
But when you're a good team, aren't you supposed to beat the team?
Yes, you are, but, I mean, you're playing sub-500 teams, and now you're walking away with an 8-1 or 8-2 record. I mean, it doesn't really mean much, because when you're beating up on teams – that are 3-6. You know, you're not playing teams. You're not beating up on teams that have the same kind of record as you. You're beating up on teams that are 2-7, 3-6.
It's called parity.
But both Philadelphia and Kansas City, they haven't played anybody yet this year. And we're going to talk about that Monday night.
Monday night. It's gonna be cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. Well, anyway, we do got to get going. Okay, this one should be pretty easy. Seth, you got your numbers ready?
Yes.
Okay. First game, Chicago, which is Viper's favorite team, and Fields is his favorite quarterback, is playing against Detroit Lions. And I know, Seth, you hate the Lions, but come on, man. Anyway, give me the numbers on the Chicago and Detroit.
Does Chicago
I'm only hacking on you.
the Chicago Bears, the Bears, against the Detroit Lions. The Lions are giving away 7.5 points, and the over-under is 48.
Now, isn't Fields, isn't he hurt? Is he out, or is he back in?
He's coming back.
I think he's going to be back for this game. I do.
Yep, he is.
Yeah.
Well, then definitely Detroit's winning. It doesn't matter who Chicago plays. Chicago's losing. That's an awful football team. Chicago actually has a history of being awful. I mean, when you have Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus on your team and you win one game out of the entire season, and then the next season you win maybe two. I mean, they were awful teams. I just don't understand it. But, well, anyway, real quick, I mean, this should be an easy one. There really isn't too much to discuss. Viper, who do you got on this? I mean.
Yeah, I got Detroit. I mean, they're getting healthier. To me right now, the Lions, they've got to be starting the discussion of being a legitimate contender. They can win in a lot of different ways, and they've done it. They demonstrated it. They can win by grinding out the clock and holding time possession with a running game. They can pound it on the ground if they need to.
Mm-hmm.
They won the shootout. It was a shootout with the Chargers. I mean, it was Herbert and Goff back and forth. No defense could stop anybody. And who do they put the ball in the hands when it's fourth down and two and they're trying to win the game? They put it in Jared Goff's hands and he delivers again. And I'm just like, they've beaten people all sorts of different ways this year. I mean, that's impressive. You can't deny that. And so I got to go with the Lions right now because the Bears are struggling in all directions, both sides of the football, and you got a Lions team that can beat you in a variety of ways. I just don't see how – is this at Soldier Field?
No, Detroit.
Okay. I could see in a torrential downpour, like when the Bears beat the Niners last year, I could see that happening, but it don't rain in Ford Field, so I can't see the Lions losing this particular game. Justin Fields might be a problem early on, but, you know, he's going to get jacked again. And like Mike Tyson says, everyone's got a game plan, so you get punched in the face. And I just don't see that happening.
And going to what you were talking about with Detroit, and we saw this last year. Now, we saw Detroit, I did anyway. I saw Detroit, they were having fun, they were learning each other, they were playing good, and it solidified it when they beat Green Bay in the last game of the season. They weren't going into the playoffs, but they took Green Bay out of the playoffs. And you saw that's a team like, okay, you know, there is something there. They've got a little – this is a different Detroit team. Yeah, we've seen Detroit up and puff before, but this is different. This has a whole different look. It has a whole different smell. It has a whole completely different feel. Now, I'm not saying Detroit's going to win the Super Bowl this year, but I guarantee you this team for the next 3 years is going to be a very, very, very tough football team to beat. And could they get to the Super Bowl within 3 years? Anything can happen. You know, if you're going to go by the way that they're playing, I say yeah. I would say yeah, they could. It's a possibility. But, hey, we're going to find out. I mean, this is a weird year. We're going to find out. And when the playoffs come, that's a completely different season. So we can speculate all we want to. But we're not going to know nothing until it happens. So, Seth, who are you on this? Brother X went Detroit. I'm going Detroit. Viper went Detroit. You're not going there.
I'm going Detroit too, but what you're going on speculation. I love this because literally this team could now be the number one NFC team if Philadelphia loses Kansas City.
Can you believe that? I mean,
there's a good chance. And if they're not the number one, they are tied right there for number one in this week. And you're going to see it this week.
Yeah, I mean, look, something really, really bad has got to happen.
Right.
For
I was just
going to
say, but barring Goff getting injured and the season tanking because of it, I see everything that Seth just said, and I'm going to say it right here. Dan Campbell is the coach of the year, without question. As long as Goff doesn't get injured or something doesn't go awry. That guy, anyone in the league deserves that honor. It's got to be Dan Campbell for taking a completely disheveled, defeated organization, mired in mediocrity or sub-mediocrity for decades, and actually making them a contender. Anyone that's able to do that deserves Coach of the Year tenfold. And so I'm picking it today. He is Coach of the Year,
yeah,
without question.
Well, you know, he planted the seeds last year. He got that tree growing last year. I mean, you saw it, even though they were losing. But you could see and you can sense it that team was growing together. And they won games that they weren't supposed to win, and they did it, and they did it together. And then when they won last year, the last game of the season, when they beat Green Bay, that was like, that to me, I went, yep, next season, that's going to be a team. You saw it. Did it. It's the way that they play together. When they win together. When they lose together. That is a complete team. And you're absolutely right. Campbell, without a shadow of a doubt. I know we got seven more games left. But unless there is, you know, asteroids crashing down on planet Earth, there's this, there's that, yeah, I mean, I can't see how you, unless Detroit just...
We got more than seven games, Ski.
What?
A lot more games than seven.
Well, for the end of the season.
Oh, well, at that point, sure.
It's week 11, right? There's 18 weeks?
Yeah, so there's six more games. Okay, six more games. So seven games plus this week. You know, six games plus this week, that's seven games. They play 17 games, right?
Yep.
Well, there's a lot of games this week.
You know.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's seven games left, so... Yeah, I mean, it's going to take an asteroid crashing down on Earth to screw everything up. Somebody's got to lose. So anyway, this next game, we were talking about Houston and we were talking about Arizona. This is Arizona in Houston. And I don't care, you're Hail Mary, blah, 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 blah. The way Houston is playing right now, it's going to be very difficult to pick against them, especially Arizona, and especially Kyler Murray. Seth, what are the numbers on this?
The AZ Cardinals are playing against the Houston Texans. The Texans are giving away 6 points, and the over-under is 48.
Yeah, 6 points. Yeah, I mean, I went Houston hammer down. I don't even have to even. It pains me. I don't like Stroud and I don't like Houston, but I hate Arizona even more. But this has nothing to do with who I hate. I'm just going by the way that they play and the way Houston has been playing, and they're in Houston. I cannot see them losing to the Arizona Cardinals. Viper, what say you?
I say the same thing. I mean, Houston's got to be taken seriously now. I mean,
yeah.
What CJ Stroud is doing is, as much as I hate to admit, almost epic for a rookie. I mean, this is something that we would have seen out of Joe Burrow kind of numbers, you know? And, you know, I didn't think that he was that NFL ready, but the kids proved me wrong. He's turned the corner, and I admit it.
Me too.
He is definitely going to be the real deal. And Houston benefited, too, from a really good draft. I mean, they had a lot of picks. They made some pretty bold moves on draft day. And it's really paying off for that organization, I have to admit. I think they not only win this game, I think they cover the spread.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, they're almost neck and neck with Jacksonville. Jacksonville 6-3, Houston 5-4. I mean, I don't think anybody expected them to be 5-4, but I think at the end of the year, I mean, it's going to be very difficult. The AFC right now is getting tighter and tighter and tighter. You've got Pittsburgh and Cleveland that are right there. They're both 6-3. Pittsburgh, we didn't think the first two games of the season, we thought, oh, Pittsburgh is nothing. Well, they're 6-3. That is a competitive football team. That's a team you got to take seriously. You know, and then, I mean, how Vegas even has 5 wins. They're 5-5. How the Raiders got 5 wins is mind-boggling. And they're above the Chargers. And Herbert's getting paid $52 million a year. And they're the same record as Denver. So, yeah, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Buffalo slipping and sliding. So, no, it's going to be down the stretch. Look, right now, I mean, I think you got to go into playoff mode right now. I know it's early, but you can't afford to really lose anything right now. You lose one game, that, you know how difficult that's going to be to make that up? Because you got to expect all these other guys to lose, and that ain't going to happen. You can't afford to lose right now. If you're in the AFC, you can't afford any losses right now, period. So, all right, we'll put Viber, you're down to Houston. Seth, where are you on this?
Houston all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch Arizona come out and another Hail Mary at the last second. And if he wins, I swear to God, I'm gonna go on a homicidal, maniacal. I'm gonna go out of my skin if Arizona wins. Ay ay ay. Well, here's another one. Dallas in Carolina. This should be a no-brainer. Seth, what are the numbers?
The Dallas Cowboys are playing against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers at home are getting 10.5 points, and the over-under is 32.
Yeah, well, you know, Dallas is another team that hasn't won anybody. Everybody they won is, you know, like Carolina, you know, Tennessee and this and that. But
you're going to destroy Carolina this week again.
Yeah, but Carolina is an awful, 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 awful football team.
It's one of the worst.
They're just not good. And I don't care if they're playing in Carolina. Me and brother
anywhere. No.
Yeah. Me and brother
Ex have a blowout.
Viper, this really shouldn't take too much discussion, but I gotta ask, where are you?
Oh, it's Cowboys. I mean, Dak Prescott could take the day off, and the Cowboys win this game. They can put Cooper Rush in and win. So yeah, Dallas all day.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Seth, I take it you're going with the boys.
Yes, Dallas as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, unless, you know, shy of a couple of meteorites crashing on planet Earth, Dallas is winning the game. Now, this next game, this could actually get a little hairy because, well, we've got the Chargers that should be a lot better than they are, but they're not. This is L.A. Chargers against Green Bay in Green Bay. Seth, what does Vegas say?
The Los Angeles Chargers playing against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. The Packers at home are getting 3 points, and the over-under is 44.
Lambeau Field.
You know, I don't have any faith in Green Bay this year, and I don't have any faith in Love. I used to have a lot of faith in Herbert, but I'm losing that love and feeling. I mean, Viper, this is not really that easy. This is not a hammer down kind of a game. I know the Chargers are favored by what, 3? You said both of these teams are. The Chargers are just not very good. They're not showing me anything this year. I'm not seeing it anyway. If they're showing it to me, I'm not seeing it. So this is actually kind of a tough game to pick, though, right? Or am I wrong?
I think the only thing that makes it tough is a California team playing in Green Bay, Wisconsin, close to Thanksgiving. That's the only thing that makes it tough. I mean, I don't believe in Green Bay. I don't think Jordan Love is the backup quarterback. I mean, I think that's what they've learned. And you can only do so much with a backup quarterback. And I don't know that he'll ever be a starter, but then again, Geno Smith's a starter, so I've been proven wrong before.
I
mean, Justin Herbert, I mean, he's a tough kid. I mean, it was a shootout last week, and he was there, you know, round for round, pound for pound, you know, punch for punch. And he delivered last week, and the Chargers did a pretty good job protecting him. And I think the difference between last week and this week, the Lions do really good to stop the run. The Green Bay doesn't. Green Bay gives up a ton of rushing yards. And I think that's only going to make Herbert's job even easier. I think the Chargers put up 30-plus points, and I think they win. And, you know, Jordan Love is just a terrible second-half quarterback. He just, you know, he might start out well, but he just never finishes the game well. Yeah. Throws too many interceptions at the wrong time. I just can't see the Chargers losing this one.
I don't know if you can't really put the onus on, you know, Herbert. He's one man. We've all seen what he can do, but the Chargers are just notorious for having a defense that loves to give up the lead. If the Chargers are winning, the defense goes, no, you're not. And that irritates me. But, you know, I've seen a lot of sloppiness from Herbert this year. You know, not very accurate. But overall, though, I mean, I think the smart money definitely is with the Chargers. The Chargers should win. They should. Brother X went Chargers. I'm going Chargers. Viper, you're going Chargers. All right, Seth.
No dissenting vote here.
Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, where's Pubs this week?
I'm doing life.
He's in the pub. That's why they call him Pubs. He spends all of his time in a
pubs.
Pub. All right, now, this one should be another no-brainer. Now, watch all of these no-brainers. Okay, this is the fifth no-brainer. This should be, I mean... there's obviously there's too many no-brainers. There's going to be somebody who's going to have to screw up. Well, this is Las Vegas in Miami. Now, the Raiders, I don't give me this. Okay, yeah, you got your new coach and this and that and fired this and fired that, and you won a couple of games. And I know Miami, yeah, you're vulnerable. Well, every NFL team is vulnerable. Every NFL team has a soft spot. They've all got their own little holes. It's just the way it is. Any team of any sport has that. But the Las Vegas Raiders coming in to Miami, got to be tough. Seth, what are these numbers?
The Las Vegas Raiders playing against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are giving away 3.5 points, and the over-under is 40.5.
Wait a minute. I can barely hear you. Talk a little closer to the mic.
The Dolphins are giving away 3.5 points to the Raiders, and the over-under is 13.5.
No. We've got to have a timeout here. Did you say 3? As in 1, 2, 3.5? Miami's only favored by the over the Raiders by 3?
No. It is 13.5.
Oh, 13. Okay, there you go. I was going to say, wait
and
a minute.
The over-under is 46.5.
Playoffs?
Playoffs. Okay. All right. You scared me there for a moment. You know, you scared me there for a moment. I was thinking, what the hell? 3 points? There's no way. Yeah, I mean, I think this is, a no-brainer. Miami wins it. Viper, is that where you're at?
Yeah. I can't see Josh Jacobs carrying the whole team by himself and Aiden O'Connell outdoing Tua and all those weapons. Yeah, I can't see that.
Now, Seth, you know, we're both. Hold on, Lou. I'm going to get to you in a second here. Seth, you know, both you and me, I grew up a Raiders fan. That was my first team. There's no way. I mean, you cannot pick the Raiders over the Dolphins right now. You can't do it.
And seriously, the best team at home is the Dolphins, period. So I'm going with the Dolphins.
I mean, you have to. You have to. All right, we got Lou. Let's see what Lou says. All right, Lou.
All right.
Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, now you got Miami's going to beat the Raiders, right? I mean.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now we got another one that, look, these are, we're all picking the same. Of course, there's really not a lot of ambiguity, except for we got a couple of games coming up that are going to be worthy to talk about. This next one is the Giants in Washington. And like I said earlier, the Giants ain't winning another game the rest of the season. So,
no.
Seth, what are your numbers on this? Seth, are you with us?
Yeah, I don't have this game.
You don't have the Giants in Washington? Okay, I'll find it. Well, I'll tell you right now. I don't even have to look at the
free. The New York Giants against the G-Men are against the Washington Redskins.
Foreskins.
Is plus 9 and over under 37.5.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, Viper. I mean, I don't think the Giants have a chance to win another game the rest of the season, do they?
I'd be shocked if they did.
And, I mean, Washington, you know, Washington is kind of a scrappy team. I mean, you know, they're going to make you earn it. If you're going to beat them, you're going to have to earn it. You know, they're going to make you work for it. They're just going to make you sweat a little bit. Not too much, but they're going to make you sweat.
Well, they're competitive.
Right.
I mean, they're not a good team, but they're competitive. Like you said about the Giants earlier, like that
right.
team isn't competing at all. At least the Reds, at least the Commanders are competing.
Right. They, you know, they just come out there and they try. And that's all I ask for in a team. Just try to win the game. You don't have to win it, but try to win it.
Right.
So, Viper, I'm going to put you down for Washington. Seth, you're going Washington, correct?
Oh, yeah. The Redskins all the way.
I know you love the G-men, but no, you can't do it. And Lou, you don't have enough, do you? You got the Keyhones to pick the G-men?
No.
No, exactly.
I don't think it's a good deal at all. I really don't.
Man. Well, now this next game, I like this game. This is going to be, this is not that easy. This is not that easy of a pick. And I studied both teams and I studied their offenses and defenses. And you could, I mean, you could pick it either way. This is going to be a very good football game. This is Pittsburgh in Cleveland. I really like, this is a good, this is old style. This is old school football. Pittsburgh and Cleveland, two of the oldest teams in the NFL. I mean, we're going to see mud and blood. This is going to be a good football game. Seth, what numbers have we got on this? Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are playing against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are giving the Steelers the Steel Garden 1 point, and the over-under is 33.
Yeah, and the Pickle Boys, you know, if they're on fire, you know, they're going to give that Cleveland defense a run for their money.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not, that Cleveland defense is going to give Pittsburgh a very long afternoon.
Yeah.
It just all depends on who shows up to play. Lou, let's go with you first. What's your breakdown on this? I mean, this is not an easy game to pick.
No. You know, I had a tough time to say this myself, you know, and of course, you know, being the division rivals that they are, and, you know, Cleveland, of course, has become better this year. It's really going to be a tough one, but I still think maybe the Steelers will have a slight edge over the Browns. I have to go with an instinct here.
So you going Pitt?
Yep.
Yeah, Brother X went Pitt. I left it blank because I need to hear more data. Viper, I mean, I guess it all, you know, unless you know who's going to show up to win, because either one of these teams could beat either one of these teams the way these teams are playing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, who gets the edge here, Viper? I mean, for all the information that you have.
Well, when I looked at this game, I mean, the thing that concerns me for Cleveland, and I've been making my living a little bit separating, you know, picking Cleveland when nobody wanted to. Cleveland has the number one sack percentage in the league, like by a long shot. I mean, they're at 11% or something like that. The next next team down, Baltimore, Kansas City at 9.5 or 9.8, 9.6. And sack percentage is a big thing for me. You know, the thing that concerns me in Cleveland right now is, you know, Deshaun Watson was starting to get his rhythm back. And that helps the offense when you have someone effective at quarterback, someone they believe in, someone they rally around. And that gave them the ability to not just win on the defensive side of the ball, but the offensive side of the ball. So that concerns me for Cleveland. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh mainly because the backup quarterback for Cleveland, Dorian, the UCLA kid, Dorian Thompson something, Robinson.
Yeah, the two top names, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good, but he ain't Deshaun Watson good. And in a game this tight, in a game with a Pittsburgh defense that is very hungry and very good and very solid, you're gonna need your starting quarterback, and they don't have it. I definitely think Cleveland gives Kenny Pickett fits. I'm not sure either team's gonna score 20 points, but I think the Steelers are gonna eke this one out at Cleveland, simply because that offense is going to stall for Cleveland, and it's going to turn into a grind game that Pittsburgh always seems to win for some reason.
Well, you know what's weird is Pittsburgh is 28th in offense and 28th in defense. They're 30th in passing and offense. I figured they'd be a little bit, you know, better than that, but they're not. But Cleveland is still first in defense, seventh in rushing, and first again in passing. So, but I mean, my heart says Pittsburgh, and I know Cleveland, you want to bring Flacco, the senior citizen, in to, you know, try out, which that seems to me to be a little premature. I mean, are they really that worried? Are they gonna bring Flacco? To work out? I mean, come on. That just seems a little weird to me. It seems like Flacco's not obviously playing this week. And even if you do bring him out to work out, I mean, the guy's 150 years old, for God's sakes. I mean, he won the Super Bowl of Baltimore. That was in, what, 98? Oh, come on. Well, I mean, something tells me this is very difficult. I mean, something tells me Cleveland's going to do it, but, you know, I know Pittsburgh is, you know, they're not that very good in offense, but they are. I mean, Pittsburgh is 6-3.
Yeah.
And so is Baltimore, Cleveland. They're both 6-3. These are two good football games, or football teams, but so I can't remember, Viper. You went Pittsburgh on this?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a grind game. I see it being like 17-14, 17-13. You know, not a high scoring game. It's going to be old, like you said, old school smash mouth line of scrimmage type football, and Cleveland can win this, don't get me wrong, but I just think with the backup quarterback, I don't think that Cleveland can put up the points that Pittsburgh can. Two great defenses, but Pittsburgh is missing less pieces.
I think it's going to come down, like what you said, I think it's going to come down to, you know, the last team that has the ball is going to come down to a field goal or a touchdown. It'll be decided in the last 2 minutes of the game. I'm still undecided. Brother X went Pittsburgh. Of course, he hates Cleveland. He won't pick them anyway.
Right.
Seth, where are you?
Seth, at?
Seth, where are you on this?
Good question. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess I got to go with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Wow. And Lou, where are you on this? What's your take?
No, I think I got to agree with your partner here.
You're going Pittsburgh. So I got to be the only one to go Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, Cleveland's made strides, but, you know, I still think Pittsburgh, you know, at home, I still think they're not to be Cleveland.
No, Deshaun Watson. No, Deshaun.
Yeah, but Deshaun Watson hasn't really been playing all that much this year anyway.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay that he's not in there anyway.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, Palmer,
dude. Palmer.
Has been, you know, Watson hasn't been contributing all that much this year anyway. But no, that Pittsburgh team has really impressed me. After the first two games of the season, I didn't think they were going to do anything, and they figured it out. You know, they figured something out. And I'm surprised that, you know, both of them are 6-3. It seems kind of weird, but I'm going to go against the grain because I need to catch up. And I'm just that kind of guy. I like the long shot. I'm just a long shot kind of guy. So I'm going to go the Brownies, man. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go hammer down.
Well, if you're going to catch the Viper, you got to take some chances.
Got to take some chances. I mean, and, you know, but I really do like the way both of these teams have been playing. I mean, I'm surprised. And I'm impressed by both of them. I didn't think either one of them were going to do anything. And, hey, they proved me wrong. And you can't argue with the W's. A W is a W. You can't argue with a W. That's one thing you cannot do. Now, the next game, this is Tennessee in Jacksonville. Now, poor Levis. I mean, the guy had his first game and he won. And then he's playing, you know, against Buffalo or Miami. And now he's got to come into Jacksonville. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. Tennessee right now, they've got some problems. But I do believe Levis is the kind of guy you can build a team around. I don't see him doing very much this year. But if you do it right and you build your team around this quarterback that you drafted, and you drafted him for this purpose, I think Tennessee can do something in the next few years. They're just not ready yet. Seth, what are the numbers on this? Tennessee and Jacksonville.
The Tennessee Titans are playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars are giving away 7 points. And the over-under is 46.5.
Jax. Yeah. Here's what I would love to see. I would love to see Levis throw 5 touchdowns, spank Lawrence, spank the Jacksonville Jaguars, spank them. I would love to see that, but, ugh. And I'm,
yeah.
No, it's very difficult to do this. Viper, I mean, if Tennessee is going to win, Viper, what is it realistically going to take? I mean, aside from a meteorite, I mean.
I don't see it happening. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jaguars are coming off a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got woken up against San Francisco last week.
Yep.
Yeah, so they got their reality check. Doug Peterson's a good coach. He's going to have the team bounce back and prepared. I see Etienne getting a lot of rushing yards against this defense. And Levis, I think you're right. I think Levis has given Tennessee indications that he's the guy for the future. But he's only completing around 55% of his passes. And last two games, I think the offense has been averaging around 10, 11, 12 points. I mean, that's not a great offense. So I think
No, you're right. But, I mean, when you got guys that can't catch the ball or guys that are dropping the ball, you know, I know the quarterback gets the blame for it, but it's not all deserved of the quarterback. But
right.
They just don't have enough right now to actually come into Jacksonville.
Right.
And be.
Yeah, I mean, it would take a Herculean effort. How do you like that word?
I do.
Come to the Saturday football show and work on your SAT skills. It would take a Herculean effort by Derrick Henry. I mean, he can do it. We've seen him do it, but that was in his younger years. I can't see that happening either, so... Yeah, I think Jacksonville wins this. I think they cover the spread. I think the spread's actually running the mark.
Yeah, again, I would love to see Tennessee beat Jacksonville. I would love it. And I don't mind losing this pick because I got to go Jacksonville, but I don't mind losing this pick if Tennessee wins. Seth, what do you got?
No, I have the Raiders beating Jacksonville.
You mean the Titans beating Jacksonville?
Oh no, I know what you're saying now. No, you had the Raiders winning.
bartender, another round, please.
Exactly.
Yes, it's the Jaguars.
Yep.
Jaguars.
We'll put you down for the Jaguars. And Lou.
Jaguars.
Lou, where are you on this? I mean, you got enough to go against the grain, go for Tennessee?
I'm going for the Titans. I'm not solo Jacksonville.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. I want to do it, too. And I was talking to Brother X for today, and I said, you know, I'm going to need a lot of these hard seltzers to pick this. And I want to do it. I really want to do it. I really want to pick Tennessee over Jacksonville. And Lou, you're going to pick Tennessee? I might change my mind. We got a few more picks to go. And we have a rule on this show. You can change your pick. But as soon as we're off the air, you can't change your pick no more.
That's right.
So I might be inclined to change my pick, but I like your pick, Lou.
Thanks.
Well, let me ask you something. Why is it that you are picking Tennessee over Jacksonville? What do you see that nobody else sees?
Jacksonville, I don't trust. I'm not told. I mean, I think they're good, but I don't think they could beat Tennessee. Jacksonville is, so inconsistent. You know, and that whole division there, oof, looks the hell out of me.
Yeah. I mean, Jacksonville, yeah, you definitely got a couple of holes.
Yeah, they sure do.
But that team, once they get going, it's hard to beat them. Once they get going, ooh. I'm going to put a question mark on that. I might change my pick. But this next one, you shouldn't have too much discussion. This is Tampa Bay in San Francisco. Seth, what are the numbers?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are giving away 12 points. The over-under is 41.5.
Yeah, and most of that's, you know, I mean, I really, you know, Mayfield, you know, he started out and, you know, God bless Tampa Bay. They really weren't supposed to do anything this year. They really weren't. I mean, come on. And, but, I can't really blame Mayfield. I mean, look who they're playing. Tampa Bay has played every game. Almost every week they're playing against a team that is a top team. They're not playing, you know, Carolina. They're not, you know, they're not playing the, you know, the Giants. They're not playing these teams. They're playing Miami's and San Francisco's and, you know, they're playing the tough, tough, tough teams. So it's, you know, very difficult for a team like Tampa Bay to get ahead. And now you're playing San Francisco in San Francisco. Oof. No. Viper, I mean, not really a lot of discussion on this, is there?
I really don't think so. I mean, the trade for Chase Young has, you know, put a little bit more edge on that San Francisco defense. They're just a notch tougher now on the defensive side of the ball. And getting some weapons back for Purdy has helped. I just think that Tampa Bay, they're a scrappy team. They've battled hard all year long. They're playing hard for Todd Bowles. They've got a really good defense. Their defense in Tampa is still, it's not quite Super Bowl winning good like it was a couple of years ago, but it's still a really solid defense. But I just think there's too many weapons on both sides of the ball for San Francisco. And Baker Mayfield is limited. If they can't run the ball, he can't run play action, and that's his wheelhouse is play action. His forte is not drop back and throw with an empty backfield. And I just think that San Francisco's going to build up enough points where it forces Tampa to do that. That's not a good winning formula for Tampa Bay. I got to go with the 49ers.
Yeah. Well, Tampa Bay, I think they've got, you know, they need a little more time in the oven. They've got something to build on, you know, something to work with. They can be competitive in a couple of years. But, like I said, they weren't supposed to really win anything. But then, you know, their schedule this year is a ridiculous schedule. And, you know, they're still coming out there playing. So you're showing, to me, Tampa Bay is showing a little bit of metal. You know what I mean? They're showing that, we're not the best team in the world. We're not even close. But we're going to come out and we're going to try. And to me, that means a lot. But you could try all day long, but you're not beating the 49ers in San Francisco. It ain't going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Lou, what do you say?
49ers all the way.
Woo-hoo! Seth?
Yeah, the 49ers with Chase Young on top of it. Baker Mayfield.
Carry on top. Exactly.
Good luck.
Where's carry on top?
Yeah. And San Francisco relatively has been healthy. Yeah, and you've got Chase Young now, and no, and all the weapons they have offensively, no. I mean, that's going to, again, we're going to need meteorites. We're going to need another San Francisco earthquake to get Tampa Bay to beat them. And that ain't going to happen. Now, this next game, this is not, yeah, I remember that in 89. I was in the Navy. We had to go out to sea. And we were on standby to go help in San Francisco. But I shouldn't have even said earthquake. That's a stupid thing to say for me to say. That was dumb, but those are horrible. I've been in them. They're horrible. They're awful. Anyway, moving on quickly. This next game should be an easy game it should be an easy game. It should be a no-brainer, but I'm not so sure it's going to be a no-brainer yet. This is New York Jets in Buffalo. Now, the Jets, I think they can kind of smell, you know, if Roger says he's coming back, hey, we got to win one for the Gimper. Not the Gipper, but the Gimper. And Buffalo is showing, I don't know what they're showing. They're not showing much. They're showing very inconsistent football. And you know, Wilson has, you know, a bad game, a good game, a couple bad games, and then a good game. He's very inconsistent. We don't know if this is going to be one of his good days. But they're playing in Buffalo, but, you know, Denver came into Buffalo last week and beat them. So, Seth, what are the numbers on this? New York Jets and Buffalo.
The New York Jets are playing against the Buffalo Bills, the Beef, and the Beef are giving away 7 points, and the over-under is 39.5.
You know, I wonder if that's 7 points. So, well, the whole thing is we don't know what Wilson is going to do. If Wilson has a good game, I think the Jets could beat Buffalo. If Allen has a good game, there's no way the Jets are beating Buffalo. We just don't know yet who's going to have a good game and who isn't. Viper, do you know who's going to have the good game here?
Well, if the Viper knew that, I'd be perfect on the season. I don't know. this is what I do know. I do know that Zach Wilson puts the cap on the Jets offense. And
exactly.
So he limits what the offense is able to do. Defense is outstanding. You know, they're as solid as anybody in the league. But, you know, I got an inkling here, okay? I got an inkling. You know, sometimes, like in hockey, when a team's giving up goals and it's not really the goalie's fault, the coach pulls the goalie as an insult to the defense to say, you know what, you guys suck. I'm going to prove it by putting the backup goalie in or putting the other goalie in, and you're going to change your play or you're going to keep getting embarrassed. And I almost equate that to the firing of the OC in Buffalo. I think that's going to be the – if it was the same OC, I might pick the Jets because clearly Josh Allen is losing more games than he's winning. But in this particular case, I think that the firing of the OC is a message to the team and the offense. Hey, you're not going to blame this guy anymore. You got to get your heads out of you know what and start playing winning football again. I think that's going to be a motivating factor, an intangible factor, that probably gets Buffalo on track against the Jets. And I think that the Buffalo Bills are still stinging from that opening day loss when Rodgers falls out of the game and somehow they lose it. I think that they're still stinging from that loss. So I'm going to go with the Bills. I probably wouldn't have done it without those factors. But I think those factors make the difference this week.
Well, you know, you were talking about their defense, the Jets' defense. They're third in passing, but 31st in rushing.
Yeah.
But you look at Buffalo's offense, 13th in rushing and 10th in passing. So, yeah, again, I mean, this is a good matchup. I mean, I don't think either team, no team's going to blow out the other team.
No.
I think we're going to see a hard-fought game.
Yeah,
and
like I said,
I
might have gone with the Jets if they didn't fire the OC. I might have gone with the Jets, but I got a bad feeling that the Bills' offense is going to wake up and the Jets' offense can't keep up with it.
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, this is a division game, and a lot of times they split.
Yeah.
You know, Buffalo lost the first game of the season. And now it's their turn to win. But the way Buffalo has been playing as of late, I mean, I don't know. And Jets are so back and forth and inconsistent, you don't know when they're going to have a good game and when they're going to have a bad game. This could be the week that they have a good game. You just don't. There's too many unknowns in this game.
Yeah.
And that's what drives me nuts. But getting rid of the coordinator, well, that could be a good thing. Or what, with that 1 week of practice or half a week of practice, is that really going to be enough to get Buffalo's offense on track? And Viper, who did they pick? Who did they get? They moved somebody up?
I'm not sure. I think someone on staff has probably taken over. But no, they're not. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to revamp the whole offense. They're not going to do that.
No.
But who's calling the plays during the game? That's changing, and I think that's going to help. You know, get Josh Allen back on the right track. It's going to refocus the offensive personnel. It's going to get them to say, hey, we've got a guy fired. We got to pick up the slack. And that's what I – you're right. There's a lot of unknowns, but that's a known that I feel is going to be a difference maker.
But is it the actual play caller or is it the non-execution of the plays?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, you got to call the right play, and then they have to execute. If they call the wrong play, the execution doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's
right.
it's a little bit of both. But I think, you know, what play to call in what situation, I don't know how much flexibility Josh Allen has to audible at the line of scrimmage. They may be ratcheting back some of that responsibility if he has too much. I don't know. Or maybe he doesn't have enough and they're going to let him do more. I don't know because I'm not on the sideline. But
well,
I do know that.
Well, what makes a good quarterback is, you know, you're able to be, you got to be very improvisational because you've got to realize, just like hitting the baseball, you've got less than a half a nanosecond to decide whether you swing or you don't. Well, the quarterback has the same thing. They see the defense, the play is called, and it starts happening. Do I throw to this guy? What do I do? Do I throw to that guy? Do I throw it out? What do I do? Well, you know, Josh Allen seems to be a little unsure of what to do, and I think that might explain all of his interceptions. So the play may not be a bad play. It's just he doesn't know how to improv when the play goes a little sour, when the defense does something that the offense did not predict. So I think on this case, you got to kind of put a lot of onus on Josh Allen. And I don't know if the offensive coordinator, is that really going to be the answer? Or is it Allen that just doesn't know how to, improv the play, how to change up real quick, spontaneous. It's instinct. Maybe he doesn't have that natural Favre instinct or Peyton Manning instinct, you know, when to change up and how to change up and what to do real quick. Boom, boom, boom. You know, I mean, this is what makes this game so very difficult. Pick. So, all right, Seth, who do you got?
In my game.
New York Jets against Buffalo.
J-E-T-S.
Oh, Buffalo all day long without even hesitation.
The Bills.
Yeah.
All right, Lou, help me out here, because I'm still.
I hate to say it, but I have to go with the Bills, you know, at home. I mean, I don't know how Zachy is going to handle out in Buffalo with Josh Allen. I mean, yes, they did win the first game, but after that, you know, that kind of fell apart. I think that Buffalo's going to get off the snide and, you know, make a statement as they try to hang on that pathetic division that they call the AFC East, which is now known as the AFC Least. But I think Allen's going to be, that's what's become. I mean, it was going to be a strong division, you know, early in the year, but then after Rodgers got hurt, the whole thing fell apart, and now Buffalo's getting the suck, too. So, it's, you know, it has not been a strong division in this case, but I think Buffalo's got enough to take it out, unfortunately.
I mean, you guys make some really, 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 really good points. And,
thank you.
I mean, it really makes sense to pick Buffalo, but this is the NFL, and I don't make a lot of sense. So, I got a weird feeling. Maybe it's my seltzers that I'm drinking. I don't know. I don't know. I just see something's going on in Buffalo. And I don't know if it's the offensive coordinator. I think it's something deeper. I think it is. I can't quite put my finger on it. And maybe it is Allen. Maybe it is Allen. It's not the offensive coordinator. For some reason, I think it's Allen that just can't. He just doesn't know how to respond to things that aren't planned during the week. I think he's lost his spontaneity. He's lost his instinct. So, but I can't trust the Jets. This is my problem. I can't really trust them. But I'm going to go to Jets just for, I don't know. I got to catch the Viper. I got 12 to pick up, and this is only 2 right now that I'm going against the Viper. So then I'll be 10, if. But anyway, this is Seattle and the L.A. Rams. This is going to be a good football game. This is a division game. These two teams, we've hated each other since Seattle went to that division. And it's always fun to see each other play. Seth, what are the numbers?
The Seattle Seahawks are playing against the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are actually giving away 1 point, and the over-under is 46.5.
Yeah, you know, when I saw the Rams are 3-6, Seattle is 6-3. I thought that was a little weird. I know Stafford's back, but he's still a little banged up. Cooper Kupp really hasn't done much because they haven't thrown anything to him. The Los Angeles Rams are, and well, I think the reason why is because you know, people are starting to figure out that Geno Smith is a backup.
Yeah.
He is a backup quarterback. And why they paid him $50-some million guaranteed this year is ridiculous. He's not starting quarterback. The Jets got rid of him.
Raider.
But I mean, Seattle's got some offensive weapons. If Geno can just stop tripping over himself and just throw the ball anywhere near Lockett or Metcalf, they're going to be okay. But that doesn't happen. I'm going to go Seattle. Brother X went Seattle. Viper, I mean, what do you see in this game? This is in the Rams.
I mean, Stafford's coming back. Stafford's coming back, but he's not 100%. And, you know, even when he's in, he hasn't been money, even when he's healthy.
No.
You know, I really wish we could see Seattle with a solid quarterback with the weapons they have right now. I mean, Kenneth Walker is unbelievable. That's my boy from Michigan State. You know, I said it when he was drafted. Everyone's going to wish they've drafted him, and sure enough, he is delivering. He's a gift for Geno Smith. I mean, without a running game, Geno Smith would have to carry the team on his shoulders, and that guy can't do it. You got two great wide receivers, good tight end play, decent protection, and Seattle should be honestly better than what they are. But the Rams just, you know, they're not a whole team. You know, they're not functioning like the team that won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. They're not functioning like that playoff team they've been for years. And it's the inconsistency in the lineup with Stafford being in and out with injury, inconsistency with Cooper Kupp, you know, missing a good chunk of the beginning of the year. They just don't have the pieces working together. And I just think, you know, Seattle is going to, I think they are going to win this game. I think it's going to be a little bit close, but probably not very high scoring. But I definitely think Seattle's going to pull this one out.
No, you are absolutely correct. If Seattle had a real quarterback, I mean, with Metcalf and Lockett, I mean, both of those guys.
Jeez.
I mean, Metcalf can catch anything, anywhere. And Lockett can do the same. And, you know, and Walker... Oh, this guy, I love this guy. I mean, and you're right. He has been saving Geno Smith because of his run. But Geno Smith has been coughing it up, and how they won last week is a miracle. How Seattle is 6-3. I don't know. I really, honest to God, that's my team, but I don't know how. They are where they are, but it's going to catch up to them, you know, come playoff season. But I think you got to go Seattle on this. I don't know why Vegas picked Rams of, you know, 1 point over Seattle. Seems a little weird, but Lou, what do you got on this?
Now, just to be sure. You said Rams and not Yams, correct?
The Rams, not the Yams.
It's a Thanksgiving joke, people. Yeah, I agree. I mean, before the 49ers, you know, I'm not selling Geno Smith, that traitor, you know, since he came over from the Jets and went over the other side. But 49ers, I think, are, you know, showing more signs of strength now after that three-game losing streak, and I think they're going to have enough. But like you said, Seattle doesn't really have a real great quarterback despite their 6-3 record. I think the 49ers here, you know, especially in their home turf, yeah, I think it should be a decent victory.
Yeah. All right, Seth, what do we got?
What do you got, Seth?
15.
Rams
and Seahawks.
Oh, no, I already went with the Rams ahead of time.
The Yams.
The Seahawks,
okay.
Yep, the Seahawks are going to get found out.
Well, that could definitely happen. I hate to say it,
the
but
sea chickens lay an egg.
They could, but you know, it really doesn't take much of a quarterback with, again, when you've got Lockett and Metcalf alone, it doesn't really take much of a quarterback. Just throw the ball. Metcalf is going to catch it. Metcalf, I've seen that guy. Both Lockett and Metcalf can catch balls that are just uncatchable. You're not supposed to catch the ball, and they do it.
Yeah.
And Metcalf can go yards. Both of them can go yards after the catch. And Metcalf is a huge guy. This is a big, big dude. He's big. Lockett is, you know, about a half a midget. And that's what makes him
fast.
Bad. He can, you know, he's fast, and he can basically run under the, you know, the defender's legs. But, you know, Metcalf is so big. I mean, he's just a big, big man. He, you know, it's almost unhuman. He's a Sasquatch, this guy. And he's a competitor. He loves to play football, you know, and it's a shame that he doesn't have a quarterback. Both of these guys, at Seattle does not have a quarterback. And I know Locke is their, you know, backup, but, I mean, that's pretty bad, but you're a backup to Geno Smith, who spent his whole career as a backup. You know, I mean, don't get me started, otherwise we'll never get off the air. But it is what it is, what it is, what it is. So anyway, moving on, I like this next game. This is Minnesota in Denver. Now, I'm going to have to ride the Dobbs train, and I've been watching this guy when he was with Arizona, and Arizona is such a bad football team, but this Dobbs has really been doing, he's been doing some good stuff, man. He's been going out there and playing his position. He's been doing everything that he can do. You can't ask more from the guy. And then he comes in last week, wasn't even supposed to start, wasn't supposed to even play. And what does he do? Well, he turns around the game and they win. So, and Denver, you're coming up this big high of beating Buffalo. Well, Buffalo beat Buffalo. You didn't beat Buffalo, so shut up. Let's just get that squared away right now. So I think Denver is a little, you know, on their high horse, and I think Minnesota's going to knock them off. So, Seth, what are the numbers on this, Minnesota and Denver?
The Minnesota Vikings are playing against the Denver Broncos. The Broncos at home are giving away 2.5 to Scrota, and the over-under is 42.5.
They're giving 2 points. Yeah, I think that's Vegas buying into the Denver hype. I don't know. Well, Viper, what's your take on this game?
I think this is one of the toughest games of the week to predict.
Right.
You know, Denver's stats are, they're skewed because Miami lit them up for a record earlier in the year. And so you have to look at their stats a little bit of a skewed eye. That game was an outlier and not representative of their defense the entire year. So it kind of skews their numbers. Their defense has improved as of late. Sean Payton is starting to make an impact. The coaching of that team is starting to make an impact. The offense is now stable with Russell Wilson. I mean, they're steady. They're producing, and they're steady, and they're reducing mistakes. So the Denver Broncos have definitely improved from the beginning of the year, and, you know, credit Sean Payton with that. But, boy, you can't deny what's going on in Minnesota. You just can't. I think J.J. O'Connell's a hell of a football coach. I really do. I give him a ton of credit. He was getting a lot of good offense out of Kirk Cousins. Now he's got Dobbs coming and stepping in, like, almost no prep, and the offense is still humming. and it even adds a little bit more wrinkles with the athleticism of Dobbs. But, God, it's such a tough game to pick. I really want to pick Denver because I should have last week. I almost did. I'm starting to believe in what Denver's doing, but, boy, I tell you what, the Minnesota Vikings look pretty darn hungry. They're not giving up. And I think that Dobbs has reinvigorated that team a little bit. And I got to go with the Vikings. It's going to be close. The Broncos could definitely win this game, but my gut tells me Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, I just like the Dobbs train. Now, it's going to crash into a 30-foot ditch at some point, but right now I think you got to ride it. I'm still not convinced with Denver, but I am convinced that Peyton has improved the team. He's got them going. They need a little more time in the oven, and I don't think Wilson is going to bring them to the promised land. I really don't. Seth, who do you got on this? Minnesota or Denver?
Actually, when we talk about Schroeder and Denver, these are the two least likely teams I've ever liked to talk about the NFL ever winning a game. So last week I went with Denver, and it was the first time ever they won. I'm going to go with Denver just on this reason basis that I did that.
But yeah, you might be right, and I wanted to go Denver too, but I couldn't do it against Buffalo, but now I can. We've only got a couple of minutes, and hopefully they don't cut us off. Hopefully they give us a little more time in overtime. This next game is not an easy game. This is Philadelphia in Kansas City. And neither one of these teams, like I said before, have really played anybody over 500. So they're both playing each other right now. So this is going to be a true test of who is who. This is a who's who game. Seth, what are the numbers on this?
The Philadelphia Eagles are actually playing in the Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are giving away 3 points to the Eagles, and the over-under is 45.5.
Yeah, this could be a, 45. I mean, it could be, over, or it could be under. It all really depends on whose defense shows up. Viper, what really is your pick on this? Me and Rex, we went over this game for like a good hour. I mean, I guess you could almost call it a pick-up, really. I mean, of who wants it the most? I know they're playing in Kansas City, so I think you kind of got to give Kansas City a little bit of an edge, but Philadelphia is a strong football team. There's not going to be a blowout. That's for sure.
Nope. Right. Well, I mean, when I looked at this game, the thing that I've noticed is, obviously Kansas City at home, minus the Lions games opening day, the Kansas City's been really solid at home, not just this year, but in all years. That they just really that Arrowhead's really got a home field advantage for them. The only one that seems to have cracked is Burrow, and he's not playing them this week. He's not playing anybody this week. I think that the Chiefs win this mainly because Jalen Hurts has not been good on the road. He's got a way lower passer rating on the road than at home. Home cooking helps the Chiefs, hurts Jalen Hurts, pardon the pun. And I think the Chiefs win this one. I think they win this one easily covering the spread. I'm not even sure it's going to be close.
Well, I mean, again, Philadelphia is 8-1, and Kansas City is, what, 6-2, but...
Yeah.
But I guess you do have to give it, you know, Kansas City the edge only because they're at home. And, you know, their defense is a little bit better, but... Oh, this is not an easy pick. So, okay, you're going Kansas City on this Viper. Lou, what do you got on this?
I'm going Kansas City as well.
All right. All right. Seth, who do you got?
I got Kansas City as well, only because it's at home. If it was at Philly, I would go Phil.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, Brother X and me, we're going to both go Kansas City. Me and Brother X, what I did, Viper, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but we had no idea, and we said, well, let's wait and find out what Viper picks, and whatever Viper picks, we'll pick. So, thank God, that's why I went to you first. I didn't pick it, and Brother X didn't pick it. I left it open for him, and so we picked your pick only because we just didn't know what to do with this game. I mean, really and honestly, we went over for an hour. I mean, you could go both ways on this. Philly, if Philly comes out and wins this game, am I going to be surprised? No. But,
well, they could, and they could have, you know, that hangover from. Hey, we lost the Super Bowl. We got to assert ourselves, too. But, no, I don't like the way Jalen Hurts is playing on the road. I just don't think he's delivering on the road as well as he is at home. And I think combine that with the home cooking of the Chiefs and wanting to reassert themselves after the Super Bowl, I think it's going to come down to a defensive stop by the Chiefs, and then I think they put it away. But
well, the Chiefs do have a better defense than Philly. And you're right, Arrowhead is hostile territory.
Yep.
It really is. It's, you know, you're going, you know, across enemy lines. It's not easy. So we did get a little bit of overtime. They haven't cut us off yet. But I want to thank you, Lou. I want to thank, of course, Viper and Seth. I want to thank those in the chat room here tonight and those that do listen to us in archive. This is going to be a fun week. We're all pretty much the same, except for I win a couple of games across the board because I need to make it up. So we'll find out what actually happens. So other than that, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you back here next week. Hey, you know,
we
got to do something for Thursday. We're going to have to figure out if we do another show because we got Thanksgiving. We got Thursday and Friday. So we may have to do that over text or over something because we can't leave these four games going, you know what I'm saying? So
yep,
we'll figure that out after Monday. So other than that, we'll see you back here next week, 6 p.m Saturday night. Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah.